Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to an edition of Survivor on AfterBuzz, the Survivor After Show. This is Survivor Worlds Apart. White collar, blue collar, red collar, and we are
no collar.
Blue collar, white collar.
You said red collar.
I said red collar.
That's their tribe.
Our first mess up of the new season. My name is Nando Velasquez, and you can find me on Twitter at NandoVel. And with me, we have a new set. I don't think any of you Survivor fans, unless you watch AfterBuzz, are familiar with our new set. We have a new set. We have a new panel, completely new. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And joining my panel, let's just start with the lovely lady right next to me.
Hi, you guys. My name is Keaton Markey, and you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Keaton Markey.
And
I'm a huge Survivor superfan. I mean, I worked on the show.
Yeah.
I love the show. I've watched it since season one, mm-hmm. So yes.
And James?
I'm James Wallington. You can find me on Twitter at James Wallington, and I am also a super fan, which is why I'm so excited to be on this panel. I'm like the super fan that when I started watching would have finale and premiere parties at my house mm-hmm. for every season, play Survivor in the backyard, building challenges myself, and inviting all my neighborhood friends over.
That is awesome.
I'm a huge fan.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
And I also...
I had a birthday party, Survivor-themed birthday party.
Yes. Look at that. And I also am a super fan as well. Let me just say that so I don't feel left out. We all got our bandanas. We got our buffs. We actually have different buffs. I have the 10th anniversary buff.
I have All Stars.
And I have the 30th anniversary commemorative buff.
Yes. So this is, look at that. Very fancy. Very fancy. Very fancy buffs. So thank you so much for tuning in. Please follow us on YouTube if you're watching us live right now. Great comment. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and please rate us. It's a new panel. It's a new show. So we definitely would appreciate more
feedback.
Some new comics.
Yeah.
Some feedback.
We read it all. And but be nice. Because just haters, don't be a hater. Nobody likes that.
Absolutely.
But constructive criticism, we do respect and appreciate.
I'm hearing feedback. I don't know if it's from my headsets, but I just want to make sure that because my headsets are a little loud.
Oh.
So I don't know if you're hearing feedback, but I just want to make sure. Is there any feedback on yours, guys?
No.
Okay, cool. Then I'm putting that down. Right. Anyway, so, let's get started. Let's talk about first impressions. Hopefully we have a couple of new changes. We're going to add a little more interactivity, a little more stuff to the set, too. So let's see if, let's talk about our initial impressions of the cast, and if we can get a photo of the cast up, that would be really awesome.
Yes.
So what do you guys think so far of this season overall? I mean, we talked a little bit in private about this season sounding a lot like Brains, Bronze, Beauty.
Yes.
And in a way, there are some similarities with white collar being brains and blue collar being bronze.
This is the thing. When you do the three tribe thing, because I feel like the Brains, Bronze, Beauty season mm-hmm. was the most successful three tribe season of Survivor that they've ever had.
Yeah.
So it's obviously going to be compared to that. And that's more recent. So a lot of the new Survivor fans can recognize that one. I think this cast is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I love that they're all new people.
Mm-hmm.
And
For the 30th anniversary.
Right.
Yeah, and I love that they're all, like, they're so eclectic.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, like, I mean, there was a couple seasons for a while there that it just seemed like they had a bunch of, like, model actors, and every tribe was just, like, these model actors that were just, like, pretending to be somebody else to be a contestant on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys, these are all real people.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I think the way that the tribe are broken up, that kind of lends to having a very diverse and eclectic group, which I like.
Absolutely.
I love this cast for one reason alone, and that is there are a lot of super fans that have been cast on this season, which we haven't seen in a while. And the reason why I'm excited that they're all super fans is because you can tell that they're all there to play the game and play hard, which is why I think this is going to be, after watching last night's episode, this is going to be an awesome season and we're in for a treat.
And let me add to that, I love the super fans, but as we'll go over in this episode, I think a lot of them have very different
ideas of how to play the game.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Which I think is very, very interesting in itself. They all are not set. Like, some of them are taking leadership immediately. Some of them are hanging back. It's very interesting to see how they're all adapting.
So I think I was going to say, I think a lot of them are falling into the label of white collar, blue collar, or mm-hmm. no collar. So that's probably why we see those different shifts on each different beach, is mm-hmm. that that's coming
to play.
They're
like, I'm going to own this, I'm going to own my label, and I'm going to own my tribe.
Right.
But we've already seen cracks, obviously, within all of the tribes.
Well, let's start talking a little bit about the tribes. Let's start off with the white collar tribe. If we can get that up, we'll start off with the white collar tribe, which consists of Joaquin.
So hot. Oh my gosh, what a good looking man.
Hold on, I thought that, and then I went, I don't think so. I don't know. Anyway, sorry to go off topic.
I'm like, sorry. We don't have to have the same taste in men.
There's something about him I just don't like from the first moment I saw him being cast. There's just something, I guess
he's
something
so
in his face.
Villainous.
Well,
yeah.
He said he always wants
looking.
To be in charge, which yes. is probably why he's very also going to be villainous.
And he talks about, even in the opening, he was talking about, you know, like loose women, fast money,
yes.
champagne, all this stuff. So he obviously is a player.
Tool bag.
Yeah, definitely. And he's from New York. I hated when he gave his New York word. I'm like, I've never heard that. I'm from New York. And I was offended when he said, I'll give you my New York word, which he obviously meant he was lying. So we got Joaquin, we've got So right there next to him. They were the two involved with the original development. So a little backstory on her that I think is public now. So was actually supposed to be on last season of Survivor.
Season 29, yes.
But with her sister for mm-hmm. Blood versus Water. But
yep.
her sister was medically evacuated.
Yes, before right. the game even started.
Okay.
So it's nice that So was able to come back, which also makes kind of her story in this episode even more devastating. that she went through all she did for two different seasons. And then to be the first one to go, mm-hmm. You know, it sucks. But she did get a consolation prize. I don't know if anybody's seen it on social media, but I think her and Malcolm Freeberg are dating.
Yeah,
so.
I would put those two puzzle pieces together. I would say they're dating.
Well, those two definitely seem like the young crowd. They definitely are into looks, and I think they bonded early because of the way they liked each other physically.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that So would be interested in Malcolm. And then
you
the
know
other
what's
four.
Funny? I was just going to say about So, right away, before the show even started to air, just mm-hmm. from pre-interviews, So was a standout to me. She was someone that I thought that I was
so
going...
Awesome.
I mean, I like her as a character on the show, mm-hmm. but I thought I was going to like her for other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But already from the jump, she's like, I'm the devil, I make people at my work
make people cry,
I'm demanding, and I'm like, okay, she's going to go home. She's going to go home first.
And I'm sure the producers were a little, like, sad when she was the first one voted out, because she would have been such a good character. She is definitely one to stir the pot. And she's a strong female that's also really, really, really good looking. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure the camera guys were probably sad that she wasn't going to be running around the beach anymore half naked.
Let's talk a little bit, before we move on, let's talk a little bit about Max, because you know, this guy, I think, has, even though nobody else on the cast seems to know him, just knowing the cast, this guy seems to have the biggest amount of pressure on him, because he actually taught a course about Survivor in college. So he's supposed to be the expert.
I thought it was also interesting how he, before the season even started, had the most fan love already. And just from watching his interview alone, he wasn't like a standout contestant. I mean, I was excited about his story of, oh, he teaches at a college, but... Mm-hmm. He's not someone that I'm like, oh, I'm going to root for Max. Not yet, at least.
Yeah.
I love his look, because I feel like, you see, if I would see Max walking down the street, I would not expect him to be a Survivor superfan and to have the knowledge base that he does about the game, having taught a course on it. And I'm so excited to see somebody who a lot of people would say would never get cast on this show because he had, like, basically kind of knows too much, you would think.
Yeah.
But for him to be able to get on and for him to play mm-hmm. and to see if kind of the Cochran, because, you know,
he's got a little bit of that.
He's got a little bit of Cochran. Cochran wrote a paper about Survivor, and then Cochran played Survivor twice and won the second time. So I'm very, very excited to see where, you know, what he takes from his knowledge base and if that, you know, allows him to be successful in this game.
Awesome. Cool. We'll talk about the other three a little bit later. Let's move on to the blue collar team. Okay,
my
awesome.
Favorite.
These guys are awesome. I mean, let's just first talk about Rodney, because I just love him. because he lied about his... So he's kind of like Tony in a way. He's a little bit of Russell Hands, a little bit of Tony, and then Boston Rob all mixing together.
Okay, yeah, a hybrid of all three.
Yeah, he's like a hybrid of all three. He lied about his job. He's a general contractor, but he says he moves furniture. He uses a sob story about his sister to win over Lindsay.
Yes.
And he's got that accent, and he just seems so likable. And I honestly think he's a big threat.
Right off the bat, I wasn't sure if I was going to like him, but as the episode progresses, like, I can't help but love Rodney. He's such a character, and my favorite quote that he said of the episode was, "People think I'm a meathead, but in a competition, I'm the filet mignon."
And you're the steakums.
The what?
Everyone else is the steakum.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really like him, too, and I think the analogy you guys said of what he's kind of a mix between is right, but I don't think he's going to be as successful as them, honestly. I feel like he's not going to be able to handle the lack of food. I feel like he's a muscle dude. Like, he might be smart and stuff, but the moment his body starts shutting down, I think his mentality is going to start shutting down a little bit. And he's lucky that he is getting in with the girls, because I feel like having the girls be worried about him nursing him back health is going to allow him to last a little bit longer, but I think he's going to struggle a little bit when we get a few weeks in.
I think what's interesting about him is when he was winning over Lindsay because she's the tatted up girl.
I like his
methodology of winning her over, talking to her about her tattoos and bonding with her that way. But he thinks the girls want a guy to take charge, and maybe in
womanizer.
This team, maybe in this team with these three. Although I think what's her name, the tall girl,
Sierra.
Might be a little tough, but I think if he gets mixed up with the white collar teams, like people like Carolyn, they're not going to handle that. So he might be good with the younger, innocent girls. But
I don't think Kelly's going to put up with it. Kelly's a cop.
That's true.
Kelly
didn't get to see
is
much.
Not gonna, yeah,
yeah. I, we didn't I, see much of her.
Which makes me feel like she's going to go a long way.
Yeah. But, I was like, where's Kelly?
The other two let's talk about. First of all, let's talk about Dan, another super fan. He's been trying out for like 10 years and finally gets on. A very oddball character.
Winnie Bikini needs to go.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Immediately. I can't. I like had to look away from the TV. Yeah. I was watching. We had like a viewing party at my house last night.
We all cringed.
Everybody just went like turned away from the TV.
I think there's a reason why he hasn't been cast in 10 seasons, but or 10 years. But you know, still, I'm glad he's there. He's definitely gonna stir the pot, and we could see that. And let's talk about Mike because I love this guy too.
He's my MVP for this. I love him. He's my favorite.
Who he ate a scorpion?
Dumb.
In this show,
he doesn't do anything for me, unfortunately.
No. I don't know if he'll go far. Okay.
I think he's going to go far because nobody's going to be threatened by him because he's just jolly old Mike and everyone's going to be like, we like having Mike around. He doesn't piss anybody off. He helps out when you need him to help out. He's great in challenges, but he's not like game threatening because he doesn't seem too smart. He just wants to be a people pleaser. So I think he's going to go far.
I think him and Rodney are just incredibly likable people, and if they work together, they might do a lot of damage in the show. I honestly think Rodney, because he's bonding with the women, might have a better advantage right now. Mike's kind of bonding with Dan, which is not the smartest thing.
For Rodney. Yeah, because the girls, Dan's been ruffling the girls' feathers the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is obviously setting up Rodney perfectly for his strategy coming into the game, because he wants to work with the girls, and the girls are not going to want to work with
Dan.
And
they want to get rid of Harry Potter's grandfather as soon as possible.
And Mike shooting himself in the foot by with Dan, it seems like. I don't know. I'm not saying he's a bad person or I don't like him. I'm just indifferent. There's nothing about him that really stands out to me yet.
Got it. Okay, awesome. Let's move on, and we'll talk about the others later. Let's move on to the next tribe, which is the no-collar tribe.
Yes,
which is your
favorite.
Yeah, so
they're so cute.
Very free. I like how they don't even call themselves a tribe. They call themselves a community.
Yes.
Or a family.
Which is not surprising.
They're like a creepy commune already.
So, we've got Vince, who looks a lot to me like Coach and actually has a little bit of a dilemma, an ego-like coach, I think. Thinking he's riding the waves, but getting a little pissy.
I think he's just so airy. Out there, and, you know, how do you feel?
I just want to ride the waves.
Yeah. He's guided by his own decisions and seeks truth.
That's what he says.
But he's a coconut vendor.
And he's a coconut. I love that he's a coconut vendor, but at one point when he's talking about Jen, he says the quote, "I get what I want." I'm like, really? Did you really want to be a coconut vendor? Because you got that.
I really want to go, like, search in Santa Monica and find him and buy a coconut from him. That is my goal before the end the end of this season is to find Vince in Santa Monica.
Let's play the AfterBuzz TV cameras.
We search for Vince.
We also have, let's talk about a couple of them. Let's talk about Nina. Because Nina obviously has a big story, I think, coming up, and she's the one who is completely deaf and has that equipment. I'm not sure what you call it.
I'm excited about Nina because we haven't seen a deaf contestant really since Christy from Survivor Amazon.
Cochlear, and I don't think that's how you pronounce it. Cochlear implant. Cochlear implant.
Let's move on.
That's allowed to hear.
The fact that she's completely deaf and has lost her hearing 7 years ago. I'm curious and excited to see her story.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to probably see it next week because I honestly thought they were going to lose. My prediction was that they were going to lose the first immunity challenge and that they'd go and they'd kick her out.
Yeah.
And it's just unfortunate because I feel like it is such a young tribe. Mm-hmm. And I think she'll...
Misunderstood.
Yeah, she's misunderstood. And I think she'll go first with this tribe goes to tribal.
Yeah. And let's talk about Joe because he's another MVP, I think, from this episode. He's another super fan. And we see already, like, he's another likable guy,
Malcolm?
In my opinion.
You mean Malcolm
the guy who looks like Malcolm, yeah.
There's literally a picture that Malcolm posted on... I don't know if it was Malcolm or somebody else posted on Twitter or Instagram. Mm-hmm. And Malcolm, it was a freeze frame of his face. And Malcolm was right next to the TV screen, and they literally look more like brothers than Malcolm and his actual brother look like.
Really? Yeah. That's awesome.
It's crazy.
Well, I like him.
I think Joe, I like him too, but I don't know how well he's going to do because I feel like he's already ruffling the feathers of his tribe by his leadership ways. Mm. He's just kind of taking control in his approach to camp life. I don't know, it just seems to be bothering his
That seems to be Vince so far. I don't know about the others, but it seems to be Vince as he's ruffling the most.
Vince seems like he's ruffling Jen's feathers.
Well, I think, I feel like Joe will be able to integrate with everybody more, like, better than Vince will be able to. If they're both kind of, like, bugging each other, I think the one that's going to pit, like, the one that everyone's going to blame is going to be Vince. It's not going to be Joe,
unfortunately. Yeah, because Vince is just weird. There was that one look that Vince had in the show when Joe and Jen seemed to be flirting. This, like, really stare of death that
it was
the
like
cameras
a girl.
Caught.
It was like girls. When girls fight over guys at a bar, that's what it reminded me of. And, like you know, one girl's talking to a guy, and then another girl comes, swoops in, and kind of steals him.
Yeah.
And now the girl's just, like, gives her the eye, like, you know, if looks could kill, Vince would have killed them both. Well, they would be dead.
Vince seems to be a little unstable because, I mean, he has that whole airy, like, hey, but then when he felt a little threatened by Joe, he got really creepy fast with Jen and with that really big hug. The only hashtag that CBS did this week, besides the regular immunity tribal challenges, we smell bad, which is great.
Don't hug me that long. We smell bad.
And it's only day one. I don't know if it was a day one reference or a no collar reference.
Can I tell you though? They smell having experience, like just being even from me to you.
Yeah.
They smell. I cannot explain to you how bad these people start smelling. Like it is. You don't think people could smell like that from like that distance, but it's like a wave of like just BO and nasty. It's so bad.
Awesome. Well, let's you know, we'll talk more about Jen. I love Jen too, to be honest with you. I think she's awesome. She reminds me of so many different people. She reminds me a little like Jennifer Grey mixed in with like old Jennifer Grey mixed in with there's like a host from AfterBuzz that she reminds me of, and I can't remember her name. Huh. I have to remember who. But yeah, I'm digging on Jen. I love what Vince said in the beginning. She seems very real and really funny and quirky. Let's start talking about the show, like the twist that we saw. First of all, let's talk about the whole original dilemma, where each tribe got to pick one member and then they picked a second member. They all split up once they got to their three different camps, and they had a decision to make. And the decision was to be honest or to deceive. And I thought it was very three interesting takes on it. I don't know how we want to go about it. If we want to take about each tribe, or we just want to, in general, talk about like what stood out for you.
Well, one of our viewers actually asked us today what we would have done.
What would you have done, Nando?
Evan Clem at Evan71788 on Twitter goes,
hi,
what
Evan.
Would you guys have done? Honest or lie?
You have to. I'm sorry. You can find the hidden immunity idol without the freaking clue.
As Carolyn said.
Just be honest. Yeah. Just be honest. You have to at the beginning. The main goal is to integrate with your tribe and make sure you guys are one cohesive unit. Because the moment people start creating bonds, if you're on the outside, you are screwed. Because you'll go to tribal and there's not enough. You don't have enough basis or history to plead your case.
Here's something interesting I noticed about all three tribes, and I think they all did the same thing. Whether they were honest honest or they deceived, none of them said what the deception was.
No.
None of them said there was a hidden immunity idol. Notice that. I mean, the white collar tribe figured it out on their own.
Yeah.
But if I listened to it twice, and whether they cut it out or not, they explained it was honest and to deceive, but they never said what they would get for deception. Because you know there's always a price to pay, or there's always an award for doing something. Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious that no other tribe seemed to be like, there must be a hidden immunity idol somewhere, even though they got the honesty part.
This is the thing. I'm sure everybody, I mean, Survivor's been on long enough, and there's enough super fans within this season that I am sure day one people were looking for that idol.
Yeah.
It just, you can't fit that into an episode.
But I still say they were deceptive. Even the honest ones were a little deceptive, and maybe they didn't say the whole deception. So if the fact that they know there's a hidden immunity idol, at least there are some super fans, but there's some people, you know, they always cast people who aren't as intelligent in the game.
Well, I loved, if we're going to talk about them individually, yeah. I loved the no colors approach to it before they even went to make a decision. Jen spoke up and was like, okay, we don't know what the decision is, but if it's like food or shelter or this or that, like, what do you think we can, what we should do? And she made it like a tribal, let's make a decision together.
Yeah.
So I loved that and her mentality of what we were saying. Yeah. It's not an individual game. So why are we going to stir feathers right now? It's a team game. We want to be unified if we're going to go far and have numbers. So.
Oh, I love that too. They had their community. They had like a community vote before they did that. And I thought that was actually a very fair approach and very red collar of them because, you know, making sure they're all included. And plus, Will's got to need something to make some sandwiches because he promised, promised he would make sandwiches.
He did.
If he got the position. So he needs those beans. The more beans, the more sandwiches he can make.
I'm excited to see what comes of Will because Will is kind of a very random character for me to see cast in a season. I don't think he's a huge fan. He's this YouTube star. He's this guy who just randomly was pumping gas and got, you know, caught on camera.
I actually have the link, but I don't think we'll have time to air it.
It's
but
so cool. We'll it's so funny. It you have to watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very curious to see just his knowledge of the game and if he has any at all or if he's just going to be like, I'm Will, I'm going to make sandwiches and be nice and everyone's just going to keep me around.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's any strategy there.
I like Will, though.
I loved, you know, I actually loved what Dan had to say when him and Mike were picking. They're like, well, you know, about being villains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you're going to have to be a villain, but it's too early in the game. And I agree with that myself. I think based on that, my answer would be I would go the honesty route, too.
Well, Dan said villains win this game, but it's too early. I'm like, but there's been some winners who aren't necessarily villainous.
No,
so I disagree with that mentality. Villains don't necessarily win the game of Survivor.
There are tough decisions you have to make regardless.
Yes.
But yeah, calling yourself a villain right away, maybe that shows what Dan is out to do eventually.
He's a really eager player. He's excited to finally be playing the game of Survivor.
And what surprised me about Dan too is he willingly volunteered to be the first person up for the blue team, you know, to blue collar, take leadership. Whereas Max said,
was like, I studied this show, but you don't put yourself in a leadership position ever.
Yeah.
He's
so
a target
again,
on your back.
Yeah, that's two different philosophies from two different super fans. So very, I have a feeling Dan just goes by the beat of his own drummer, and that's why, like I said,
kooky.
Some people who really, really want to be on Survivor, like they'll work out and they'll train and look, James, they'll set up their own challenges and they'll practice or everything. Dan doesn't seem like he just seems to be like a couch fan.
Well, Dan did say, "You will never forget me." And I think he's going to hold true to that.
I think
promise.
So, too. So, but the interesting thing about those two, too, is even though they picked honesty, there was some doubt because the bag, I guess the blue collar team is expecting when they're going to get a big bag of beans, they need, especially people like Rodney, they need a big bag of beans.
Well, and Mike
beans.
Is even bigger than Rodney.
Yeah.
Mike, don't be stupid. Take the bag of beans.
So Sierra was like, that's not a big bag of beans.
Sierra, welcome to Survivor. hate to tell you, but this isn't, they're not going to make you a happy meal.
Yeah. So, and then of course we saw the white collar team. Joaquin and so, you know, 90210 crowd.
Gosh.
And pretty much Joaquin, he wants to be the villain, so got manipulated, poor victim, so, and she ended up going along with it. I mean, she did seem to say, like, we can go honestly, but
I think so wanted to play this game from the get-go as a villain. That's how, that was going to be her calling card. She was going to play hard, as hard as she could from the beginning, and that's what bit her in the butt. So I don't blame Joaquin. I blame So.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's unfortunate again because I really liked her as a character, and I really wish she would have lasted longer.
Yeah.
But I think it's her own fault.
Well, but see, I agree with you, Nuno. I feel like she was a little bit forced into that decision because I think she was leaning towards if she was playing the game, like. as a super fan, mm-hmm. she knew not to do the deceive right away. I'm sure she wants to be and play the villain card, but she's also smart enough to know it's too early for that. But I think Joaquin just was too dominant in that decision.
And I think they were just too busy, like, in love with each other. I really think they were just so, like, they're obviously the youngest two on the team.
Yeah.
And they have good bodies, both of them. And I'm sure they were just very little infatuated with them. So I think they kind of forgot about gameplay a little bit, or really the ramifications. I mean, Joaquin, I don't think cares.
I don't know what Joaquin's going to do now that he doesn't have So to, like, distract him at the beach.
We're talking about how it's an instant alliance because they had to make this decision together.
Yeah. Yeah,
I had to quote So because she's like, it's like I'm making a deal with the devil. But in her first interview, she called herself the devil. So I'm like, what?
Like minds, you know?
Yeah.
They attract each other.
The double devils.
But what was cool is they came back with this really... Do you believe this story that they came up with if you didn't know what they picked?
No.
Yeah.
And that's why... was it Carolyn that spoke up or Sharon?
It was both of them that seemed to know, yeah.
Okay, in the game of Survivor, you don't have a neutral. It's either you are honest or you deceive. There's no neutral.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is so true. So, right off the bat, if they said there was a neutral, I'd be like, no, no, no.
Do you know what? I don't even think... If I would have chosen the deceive, I don't even think I would have brought that small bag of rice or of beans back. Because I think that automatically... That bag was tiny.
Yeah.
And I think if it was me, I would have, like, hit it and then planned to go to Tree Mail the next day and, like, put the beans in there, looked like I got it the next day, and just not brought anything back. And just been like, and made up some story around that, because I think the fact that they had that small bag, everybody at White Collar's not stupid.
I mean, as it was, Blue Collar was already suspicious about the big bag, mm-hmm. so that shows how small the big bag was.
Yes. But I feel like if you came back with nothing, they're going to be like, oh, they haven't had immunity at El Clue. I think bringing the bag back was at least smart. They just stuck
that
line.
Yeah, that's true. And
which is like Carolyn said, you know, if you're white collar, you can tell when someone's BSing you.
Yeah. I don't think those two are really good BS artists, honestly, either. But I don't know. I have the satisfaction of watching from my couch, so who knows. you know, what was great is Carolyn and Sharon figured it, and Max pretty much figured it out. They must have a clue to the hidden immunity mm-hmm. idol, which I thought was brilliant. It's awesome. They are so smart, and they just read them right away.
Yes.
And even better... Carolyn ended up hunting them down and following them and figuring out where the immunity idol was.
Star.
So, and I love her. I think she's from Queens. She's another New Yorker because that's Joaquin was giving
from,
her a New York word.
She's from Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, Florida? But I think she's originally from Queens or something. Maybe she lives in Tampa now. I kind of remember something earlier. But she's got a little bit of a New York accent. So I believe that her and Joaquin are the New Yorkers. I kind of dug her. I know at first she was talking a lot, so I was laying a little iffy on her, but she's pretty good.
I think she shot herself in the foot at Tribal, though.
Yeah.
I think she...
We'll talk about Tribal, because I have a couple of really interesting questions about Tribal. But anyway, so great. We saw it doesn't take a clue to find the immunity idol, although she had a clue in the sense that So and Joaquin were looking in a certain place. Let's talk a little bit about who ruffled whose feathers. So far we saw that scene in... with Jen and Vince, Vince getting jealous about Joe, right?
We see Dan
and the women.
Which, Dan, come on. Like, you, again, it's like you don't do that. You don't talk to 20, like, girls in their 20s like that. You mm-hmm. Like, the first day you meet them, you don't just... He was, like, being so degrading to them and yelling at them.
I was really shocked and taken back.
That's stupid. I think he said something like, that's stupid. That's
a
stupid idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the first time we see Kelly, actually, on this episode, I feel like, when she spoke up in her little confessional about how...
I think there was a little editing there, because it kind of seemed like a really sudden cut to him saying that. So I think it might have been a little... more jumpier than we saw, but he's still the way when he was talking, very short bursts like this, like, Lindsay, you can't understand me unless I talk like this.
I'm
like
having a temper tantrum.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sierra was totally like giving him the stink eye on that, the way he was talking to them. So absolutely. And then of course White Collar, we see it really just came from the original dilemma. No one seems to trust So and Joaquin. And I think we let's talk about Fire, because this was awesome actually too. A lot of those arguments came as a result of the shelter. Shelter always causes arguments, but what fascinated me about these three teams is two of them got right. fired.
Made it themselves.
And Blue Collar, I think, just did it from sheer willpower, because they're just so brawny, and they just did it.
But Joe goes, you guys, I watched their YouTube video like 10 times. I know how to do this. And everybody's like, I don't think Joe's going to do it. And then he did it, and I was so happy
was
that he did.
I was very amazed. And I'm glad. I mean, it's Survivor. You should know how
you should
to
be
start
studying.
A fire.
Yeah, if you are going to be a contestant on Survivor, watch the YouTube video yeah. Joe watched and practice making fire.
If
do yourself a favor.
If you're a super fan, you need to learn this. You
yes.
need to know that it is going to come in handy.
It's like if you're a fan of Amazing Race, you want to know how to drive a stick shift.
Yes.
Survivor, you want to know how to make a fire.
Yeah. You don't want to know how to swim. You want to know how to make a fire.
And maybe study up on maybe what like lean-tos and like kind of easy shelter shapes that there might
yeah,
be.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Just, you know, do your research, guys.
Do
this
a little,
is a great opportunity.
Do a little research. So Joe definitely, you know, earning some major trust from doing that. Jen, obviously a little infatuated. I think she's a little infatuated with him, even though she's not looking for love, but she was flirting with him. She was saying, like, you want me to blow on that wood? And he's like, I gotta make the hole a little bigger. You know, obviously they're making little innuendos there. Wince is giving the stink eye. And Wince and Joe already weren't getting along over building the shelter, so that was really interesting. And, yeah, and like I said, Blue, white team, of course, no clue. And you would even think with two super fans on that team, they would have studied up.
I know. I would have thought in a heartbeat that Max would. But Max might know. And Max just might be wanting to hide this knowledge that he has, which is a smart move. But still, fire is such a life force out on Survivor. And I feel like maybe if they didn't go to Tribal, he would have probably tried to step in and maybe been like, yeah, hey, guys, I know how to make it. But it's very hard for me to believe that Max doesn't know how to make fire.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would have to
assume that.
I feel like extra credit if you make fire after your quiz in our Survivor class. Like,
okay, so we covered fire. We covered that. Let's, you know, before we go on to talk about the immunity challenge, let's just say this is a new panel. We are here for the sake, you know, our intention is to be here every single week consistently to bring you the best analysis we can. We're super fans. All of us have a really good background regarding Survivor. I bonded with you guys over Survivor when I first. We all came to the After Buzz at the same time. And I remember James and I in our initial group interview, we were just having like a 15-minute mini show on Survivor in front of everybody else, like just spontaneous. But we really would love to get some feedback from you. If you're watching a stream on YouTube, please comment. If you are listening to it on iTunes, please rate us and you're obviously subscribed already, but rate us and comment. We'd love to hear from you guys.
We are getting a lot of feedback right now because you can watch it live on YouTube. We have about 40 viewers.
Cool, because I can't.
A lot of conversation going on, so I'm going to give a few shout outs to Joseph Boza, SoulBrother69. Hey, SoulBrother69.
You've
been following
me
for a while. Saul Perez, Sheena123. Thank you guys for tuning in. I know we're not Jerry, Justin, or Ryan, but you guys are giving us great feedback.
I do want to share this because the reason I am part of AfterBuzz is because I was working for Jeff Probst at the time when I found out about AfterBuzz, and he was the one who encouraged me to try out and to join AfterBuzz when I was working for him. And originally they wanted me to do the Survivor show when I first joined, but then because I was still so ingrained with that world, I wasn't really supposed to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy now that I can, and maybe we'll get Jeff in.
You get a little insight. I mean, we don't have a Survivor All-Star on the panel, but I think we have a pretty good panel right here.
I worked on 4 seasons.
I think so. But you weren't in Playboy.
Not yet, no. I'm kidding.
But please, thanks so much. And you know what? The added benefit of us doing the show, it's going to be a new show. We have our own little take. And I'm promising you right now, we are going to have current cast members on this season. So we are working on that. So we will keep you guys informed. We're definitely going to have a lot of nice surprises for you guys.
Hold on. One more shout out.
Yeah, of course.
The comment stands out to me to Joseph Boza. He goes, this will be a fun journey this season with this crew. It will be entertaining to watch them each week as it develops. So thanks, Joseph.
Thanks so much,
Joe. Thank you.
So let's talk about the immunity challenge. I loved this immunity challenge. I mean, it was epic. It was large. What I loved is I think it really, I mean, overall production for this episode has me so optimistic the way they were thought about this immunity challenge. The thing that really I loved about this immunity challenge was there were choices to make.
Exactly.
And since all the tribes were separated by the profession and their way of thinking, their way of life, it really lends to each tribe and their mentality.
You know, and I just have to give a shout out to John Kierhofer, who has been with Survivor since season one. And he and his team who do the challenges on Survivor, I mean, you guys don't even know all the work that goes into it, but the creativity that it takes to have this type of like challenge, like that's this good, mm-hmm. 30 seasons in, and it's so different from other things. I know some of the puzzles were the same puzzles we've seen, but that choice, it just adds another element, and you just gotta love the producers of this show, and like there's a reason it's been on for 30 seasons and done as well as it's done.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Nando, because that was the standout to me in the immunity challenge was the choice, especially with the puzzle, because mm-hmm. there was those three bags that they could choose from, and I thought it was interesting that two of them went for the middle bag, and yeah. the white collar went for the one with the most pieces.
Yeah, what are you thinking? 50 pieces is just going to take a long time in itself just to see all the pieces.
But yeah, it was still a lot.
It's like, what are you doing?
Well, I still think, I mean, if we're going to jump to the puzzles right away, just I think Sheeran was just panicked and she just did not handle the pressure, because it was mm-hmm. it was a very straightforward puzzle yeah. as opposed to the other two. At first, I think I was a little shocked they picked the 25 puzzle piece. I would have thought they might have gone for the big picture, but it kind of makes sense too. They're used to having simple answers or having people do all the difficult work for them in a way. I mean, that's the way I look at it. What surprised me was blue collar going for the artsy piece.
I know, me too.
That surprised me, because I would have thought at least they were so behind at that point. I would have thought maybe they'd go for the five and just roll the dice and see if they could figure it
yeah.
out. I don't think the five piece was necessarily that hard.
I don't think so either.
But
if one person like has done that puzzle before, they would know it. But I applaud blue collar for picking the one they did, because that's the only one you can see of the other contestants. So it's one that you yeah. could copy. Obviously, no caller had already finished it, yeah. and they could easily just look over and copy it and place the pieces, because they weren't dealing with as many pieces as the white collar was
right.
dealing
and
with.
I can't remember, but I know that 10-piece puzzle's been used before, because I know they've had the whole
thing. Oh, it yeah. was used. I've done that puzzle. What season? I think it was in the Philippines that was used.
They've done it before.
I know it looks very familiar.
It's so hard. That mm-hmm. one is very, very difficult, because every little piece looks like it could fit in. And I'm sure they might have changed it up a bit, but yeah, they have used that puzzle before.
So let's break it down for a quick moment. Let's break it down first to the locks versus the knots thing. Everyone went for the locks, and I believe I had my notes on me. I don't have them anymore. I know Lindsay went for blue collar, and I can't remember who went for the other two right now.
So
it's Joaquin. And then So took his place.
Right.
Lindsay and then Mike took his place. And then for Red Collar, it was Vince. And then Joe took his place. Very interesting. From Vince to Joe, the two rivals. Vince couldn't. None of them could do the lock, so they had to switch out. So Joe, who's a jewelry designer, so I would really think that he works really well with smaller items, being a jewelry designer, was able to really get into the ropes. So was also able to do the ropes really well. Mike, I don't know. Maybe this is me, but he's a big guy. I know I can rely on him doing very heavy lifting, but that just seemed like a very intricate thing for Mike to do.
I would have gone straight to the knots, though. I would not even have bothered with the keys, because I feel like, having seen challenges in the past, a lot of the problem is the keys getting all jumbled up
and you're reusing
the
same keys.
Of which key you use, and it's just too much handwork, where just knots is like straightforward, like boom.
Yeah. And it's like you can see like a light at the end of the tunnel with the knots, where with the keys it's such a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Such a crapshoot.
But Joe ended up falling really behind for his team, and White Collar comes off in front right after that puzzle, because of So. They end up doing the obstacles. It was really cool obstacles and everything. Red team right behind, blue lagging behind, and then they go to the pieces. We talked about the pieces. You got something there?
Yeah. I was just reading more comments. And Sheena123 said, Keaton looks so beautiful.
Aw, thank you, Sheena. And Joseph just pointed out that I did endurance back in the day. Yes, I did. It was the kid version of Survivor.
So we had a white team, and Sheeran, who said she was really, really good at puzzles, in charge of the 25-piece puzzle.
Thing. If someone comes out, I was like, I'm so good at puzzles, don't let them do it, because they're too cocky and they're going to freak out. You say, who else is good at puzzles? And then choose that person.
You know who else was really, really good at puzzles in the first episode of their season? Jatea on the Brains Tribe.
Jatea?
This was such Jatea. She was really good at puzzles, and she lost it for that team, for the Brain team, and it's like history repeating itself. I don't think Sheeran is Jatea. Don't get me wrong. Jatea had a very.
I don't know. She might throw the rice in the fire.
She
we don't
might.
Know
but I thought that was pretty funny. So we have her going there for the blue team. Oh, actually, it was the red team first. The red team had trying to remember who it was now because I don't have my notes in front of me. But it ended up being Joe covering for Jen. It was Jen.
Yep.
Jen could not figure out the tree at all.
Could
Joe
not.
Comes in MVP, both on the knots and on the
just
puzzle,
killing
it, and starting fire. I mean, really, if there was like a prize for Survivor of the Week, like they used to do on CBS, I think Joe should win it.
Yeah.
Honestly, just from Joe, and then maybe Mike,
because
Mike,
the sprint player
of the week, because Mike ended up covering for Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up finishing the tree one and coming back from behind.
Yeah.
This big lug who really, I think he wasn't in danger. I think Dan is in danger in that tribe, but
yeah.
I think he really felt like he let the team down with the knots.
Well, and I think he also felt pretty stupid when he ate the scorpion.
He loved the scorpion.
What a moron.
You don't eat a random bug. Like, I'm sorry.
Dude, you know what? We didn't really talk as much about that, but him doing that in front of the tribe shows I will eat anything. And he even said, any obstacle, I will run to it.
Yeah.
Like, he is a bulldozer.
I like him a lot.
But anyway, so we see that the red team, who you and I both thought, no collar, was not going to win this challenge. What looked to me, I gotta say it, the first immunity challenge out of the two looked like a bong. It was like perfect for the red team.
Wait, are you talking about the idol?
Yeah, the idol.
Immunity idol.
The immunity, what did I say?
You said the immunity idol. You said the immunity challenge looked like a bong. I'm like,
the idol. The first idol looked like a bong. It was so funny.
I saw a meme on Twitter last night and I should have brought it in. Uh-huh. It was picture cropped of Lindsay and a picture cropped with the immunity idol next to her, and it was like, look, it's Lindsay's twin, because you know the idol's all painted and like colorful like Lindsay's tattoos.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was hysterical.
I mean, when I first saw, my first reaction to that immunity idol was, ugh, I don't really like that. But knowing like the concept behind Tribal and kind of the whole mm-hmm. look of this season, which is kind of like a shipwreck, and then they built all this stuff up from a shipwreck. And if you saw Tribal, I mean, look at the detail that's in Tribal. My friends who do work on this season said that this was one of the coolest Tribals they have ever walked on the set of. I mean, and it's so hard to translate how mm-hmm. amazing these sets are mm-hmm. On television, because they build Tribal from scratch.
Yeah.
And they use the elements to add to it and to dress it, and it's so cool. And I really do like what the idol does look like, because I think it takes, you can see that it's taken directly from the look of that Tribal and the feel that they're trying to do, of everything kind of built from all these yeah. random scraps.
I'm making light of the idol, but I think it's a really cool it's a really cool idol.
Don't put insult in the art department that I love.
I like the idol. It just was funny because I haven't seen one like that shape, and for some reason with no collar, it just reminded me of a bong. Sorry. But, and then the second part of the idol was like looked like a throne that the first one sat in, so that was cool. It's so funny that the two teams that were able to start fire actually win the challenge, so they both get more equipment or
yeah.
flint to use fire, and
yep.
of course the team that couldn't do fire lost.
Yes.
So that shows a lot. So White Collar sending somebody home, and you know, really surprised that Sheeran wasn't really part of the conversation. It really was between Carolyn and So,
yeah.
because Sheeran just, I thought, you know, I know she's a super fan and everything, but she just failed miserably on an easy puzzle. Didn't look like she got very far in that puzzle at all.
No.
And I don't feel like she's clicking super socially with anybody either. But
she's got
maybe,
the alliance,
maybe
but.
We just haven't seen much of her come out and seen much of her gameplay, because that is a huge, like, how the heck did she squeak by this Tribal and not even be a contender?
Well, I think it was because of the relationship
home.
She's built with Carolyn and Max
yeah.
right off the bat. Because she was the one that I felt like really took initiative to form an alliance mm-hmm. on that tribe, besides Joaquin and So, but
yeah.
I thought Sheeran set herself up nicely with at least an alliance with
I guess,
Tribal.
But Carolyn was being targeted because she was too old, even though she looks like a pretty tough person, too.
I agree. I didn't think
she looked weak. I think Sheeran looked weaker than Carolyn, honestly. So again, I'm a little surprised by that, but we knew that she'd probably be safe based on the three-person alliance. It was just a question of them swaying Tyler. So, and Tyler and Carolyn had a nice little conversation, because So was doing all this talking, and very obvious talking with all the guys. And, you know, Carolyn shares that she has the idol. I don't think anyone on her alliance knows. It's just Tyler, based on what we've seen. So I thought that was a very interesting thing. And I don't know about you. I think that's what swayed Tyler, ultimately, the fact that Carolyn had an idol.
Because it could benefit him, maybe, at some point.
Yeah.
Or just as leverage for a future tribal council.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so really, it was just between those two. Tribal council was really fun.
Oh, my gosh. I loved it. For the first tribal council of the season.
It
was like the contestants. We kind of talked about this earlier.
Yeah, we did talk about this.
It was like the tribe gave Jeff so much material. Mm. Jeff didn't really have to guide tribal council and ask questions. Yeah. It was like they just gave him on a silver platter, this is the drama that's going on in our tribe. You're going home. Oh, wait, you said she was going home, and so on and so forth. I loved the drama. Mm. And
I love the whole, they brought up the whole neutral thing. I actually thought there was one slight misplay that Max did, was he admitted, yeah, I would have lied to you. I would have picked deceive too. I just would have been a better liar. And I think that's something I wouldn't want to share.
I would not have said that at tribal council.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to share that. I did love his other comment. This is exactly what the Survivor Gods, I wanted from the Survivor Gods.
Wicked
downpour and lots of drama.
But yes. I also love the comment, the game is afoot. And then Max goes, a very wise man once said that. And I don't know if you guys remember Tarzan from One World.
Yes.
The game is afoot is something I still use in my everyday life when something funny happens.
Oh, that's
my
awesome.
My boyfriend and I will be like, the game is afoot. And I'm Tarzan. God, what a character.
But, really awesome. I was a little, I thought Carolyn might play the idol, or I thought she might pull like a Tony and like show the idol, you know, maybe put it back in her bag and scare people. But it seemed like, I guess, I feel like there was stuff that we didn't get to see.
Yeah,
footage
that
we didn't get to see because she felt assured enough not to use her idol right away, even though she was in danger.
Because the only person they showed us her telling, like, that she had the idol was Tyler. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, how did she get everybody else to pull on her side, too? So, you know, I know she kind of had that alliance as well, but everybody was, as what we were seeing, at least, was kind of like, I don't really know what we should do, even though the alliance had been made.
I think if I wasn't sure, I would have pulled my idol out.
Me too.
I would have totally pulled it out
too.
And said, okay, guys, you know what? Test your luck, because I'm here and I know I'm going to be a target, and this will buy me 1 week and get rid of my biggest competitor, my biggest rival right now, if you guys want to do that.
Yeah, so. And everyone, like when we were watching, was like, oh my gosh, she's going to go home. She's going to be voted out first with an idol in her pocket. Like, what? And then when the third so vote came up, they were like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, so really
great
happy.
Editing. Great
really
editing,
happy about
great
that.
Episode.
And yeah, just overall, I think a great episode. I think we covered just about everything there, right? I do have, if we have that, I do actually have a link that was posted on CBS Survivor on YouTube from the day after, right?
This is the Will thing.
This is the second link.
Well,
we can show
link.
The Will. We'll save the Will thing or we'll put it up online because we don't have much time to show both. But. Sorry about
Let's
that.
Let's see, so.
Josh, you don't have the second one.
Oh.
Okay. Well, you know what? You can go on, CBS, you can look for CBS Survivor on YouTube. And you can find that one. Anyway, it was so saying, I'd rather be, you know, it really sucked being called a bad liar, but she'd rather be a bad liar and still be a good person than be considered a great liar and a sociopath. And I thought it was a really funny line. She obviously was a little upset.
I mean, again, I feel so bad for this girl because she is such a great, great character. And if there's any first contestant that's ever been voted out first that I would want to see back, it would be so. Mm-hmm. Just because of what she went through with being out there for the season 29 and then coming back and everything. She was such a fan, and I don't feel like she really got to play.
Yeah.
I agree. She's someone I would love to see come back to.
Yeah, well, maybe she'll come back in the last two episodes. I don't know. you know, one thing that I think is interesting that I read recently, because there's been a lot of press with Probst because of the 30th anniversary, is he mentioned that there's lots of ideas. Like, this idea is obviously a novel idea. I can't help but compare it to Brains, Brawn, Beauty, and Beauty, but this...
This was Jeff's idea.
So far it's working out great. It's just slightly different. I feel it's different enough to not really compare it now, but now that we're seeing it. But he said that there's stuff on the whiteboard that they, like, 15, 20 seasons ago, they were like, we'd never do this, but it's still on the whiteboard. And they're like, to the point where, maybe we would. And I think there's always been talk about what it would be like if you had a bunch of first-time voted out contestants playing the game again.
I mean, because Francesca obviously was one that they've actually brought back who was the first one eliminated.
And she got voted again.
And I didn't understand why they brought her back in
Me
the first
neither.
Place. I was like, come on, of all people to bring back. Really? Yeah. Francesca?
Francesca.
Well, as that's Philip likes to say. Yeah, nothing against her, because I think she's great, but seriously, like, not, she's not as interesting as somebody like So, or like David Sampson, who was in Taeyeon. There's a lot of other
Others that were good. Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be an interesting one. So it might be good on that. Oh, and I have to bring this up, because I just couldn't believe this. Joaquin cannot spell.
No.
Joaquin cannot spell Carolyn. He spelled it Sherilyn. C-H-E-R.
The best vote of the night was Sheeran. And it said, so much drama.
I love that. I wonder if Joaquin had to vote So out, if he would have spelled her name right. Based on the fact, he would have put S-E-W or something.
Yeah, right. Like,
Joaquin. At least so, Joaquin's pretty, you guys. He's really pretty.
We should have a contest, because I'm sure he's going to eventually be voted out. When he gets voted out, how many different ways people are going to spell his name? Because I would say, out of all the names on Survivor, that would be the one I would mess up if I was playing the game. Joaquin's name.
How do you spell Joaquin?
I don't know.
Right,
it's J-U-A-Q... A
J O A Q U I N.
You just looked at my paper.
No, you didn't.
I can't see it.
No,
okay.
No, you didn't. I can't spell it. I can't spell it. Anyway, I think that's about it for the show. You know, we're going to do a clip of So, but in following weeks, we hope to actually have interviews with the actual survivors as they get eliminated. So we're working with CBS on that. Please rate us in comments, because also it shows CBS how passionate we are about the show and how much of a good show we want to do. Let us know how we're doing. You know, where can we find you guys during the week to talk, you know, to talk to Survivor, whatever.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at James Wallington and on Instagram at Mr. James Wally. And I'm also the host of the Amazing Race After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. We go on every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So make sure if you're a fan of all the CBS reality shows, you just follow me there,
get
too.
Get in on that.
And that's a great season, too.
And big shout out to Alexandra, who also commented on our show today. Alexandra Adams, say hi to her. So I'm saying hi to you.
You guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Keaton Markey, really easy. And if you Google, yes, you will find funny things of me when I was 14 on endurance too.
Nice.
I have one more thing to say, because we really want to interact with the fans this season and play along with us. So I started a Fantasy Survivor tribe on fantasysurvivor.net. So make sure you go to that website, register an account, go to the AfterBuzz TV tribe. The password is AfterBuzz, and make sure you pick your fantasy selects every single week and try to beat us. We've already started, so we're maybe one episode ahead of you guys.
Yeah.
Get your points every week and play along with
us. And you'll put that information up on YouTube in the comment section, right?
FantasySurvivor.net, AfterBuzz TV Tribe, AfterBuzz as the password.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nandovel, N-A-N-D-O-V-E-L. You can also find me here on AfterBuzz for other awesome recap shows like The Walking Dead, The Blacklist, Scorpion, Bates Motel is coming back.
What don't you do, Nando?
I know. Well, there's a couple of people here doing more shows than me, but I'm up there. I'm pretty much up there. But anyway, thank you so much. And please include us in the conversation on Twitter. Use the hashtag ABTVSurvivor when you're talking to us. Give us more questions. If you have any questions or anything like that, we'd love to talk to you and answer you. We want to make this as interactive as possible. Thanks so much. Next week, we will be on, I believe, Thursday Pacific time at 5 p.m. And that should be our regular time, unless we say otherwise. So thanks. Tune in then.
Thanks, bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The tribe has spoken.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.